Nexus Church is all about cultivating an authentic Christian community where old and young alike journey with Jesus and are transformed by the gospel. May we be challenged and inspired by the power of His Word.
All right, we are working through a series at the moment and it's called I Am. It's on the screen behind me. And what we're doing is we're working through all of the I Am statements of Christ through the book of John. Now, this is important because what John's doing through these statements is he's taking Jesus from just being a really good man, a really good teacher, a really good rabbi, and he's elevating him and he's showing him to be who he truly is, and that is divine. And so we've gone through a few of them. Pastor Josh shared, I'm the resurrection and the life. Pastor Beck and Pastor Nathan shared, I'm the good shepherd. Shepherd is not a word. And Pastor Cam two weeks ago, shared, I am the light of the world. Last week we had baptisms, which was unbelievable. And so good seeing some of y'all that got baptized here again tonight. Tonight we're going to jump into another one. And this is one you've probably heard before, but I am the bread of life. Now, if you're gluten-free, you're going to be okay. We're going to get through this together. There's a gluten-free version of Jesus available for you as well. It's not true. He's straight gluten. He loves it. But you know, in our lives, we are just bombarded with marketing slogans. And I was looking some up this week. And the truth is, marketers understand that if they can play on our insecurities, if they can play on the things that we worry about, then they're going to sell their product. And it's not just a new thing. We're not the only ones dealing with this. Marketing's been happening since all the way back in the medieval times, apparently. I read it somewhere very quickly this week. Not going to go into it, but we are bombarded with marketing. And I just want to read out some of the slogans. Actually, let's do a bit of a game. I'm going to say the company, and then you're going to say the slogan. If you know the slogan, I want you to say what it is. Nike. Thank you. We will. Apple. Eat it. It's not. I think that's a different. Apple's one is think different. Yeah, we know it now. Thank you, Mr. Steve Jobs. L'Oreal Paris. Because you're worth it. Very good, Pastor Josh King. Well done. Interesting. Macca's. I'm loving it as well. Not at the moment, though. Hey, Ray. Yeah, we're not having drive-through, and it sucks. Maybelline. Who's all the Reliant K fans? Come on. Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline. The U.S. Marine Corps. We're going to do it. Just so you know, this is all we're doing tonight. We're just doing all slogans. And it's going to be a great time. The U.S. Marine Corps. Do we know that one? Hoorah. No, not hoorah. But Ree, your voice was very deep just then. The few, the proud, the Marines. That's their thing. Yeah, it's good. There's a few that I like that we probably don't know. Oh, Eminem. Do you know Eminem? Not the rapper. Yes, Slim Shady. Yes, not that one. Melts in your mouth, not in your hands. How good's that? Really, it's educational as well as interesting. So that's good. And then Dollar Shave Club, which needs to be read in a Sean Connery voice, is shave time, shave money. It's very good. And then my favorite, which I'd never heard of, is Meow Mix. It tastes so good. Cats ask for it by name. That's so good. I like that. Meow Mix. I don't even know what it is. Anyway, there's all of these slogans that we read and we know, and at the core of it, they're playing on us. They're playing on, they're exploiting our psychology. They're exploiting our insecurities. Exploit is a big word, but they're using those things so that we buy their product. Because they understand something about you and I. All humans are the same, and it's not just in this generation, but through all generations, there is this yearning and this question within each of us is, how can I truly be satisfied? And that's the question I want to ask you tonight. Tonight, as we jump into the Word, I want you to ask yourself the question of, what am I seeking to truly satisfy me? You know, I probably should have shared Snickers, which their slogan is really satisfies, but that's okay. So tonight, I want you to ask that question, but here's the important thing. I don't want you to give me the right answer. You know, in a church like this, when I say, what are you searching for that's truly going to sustain you? What are you searching for that's truly going to satisfy you? There's a smattering of us that as soon as we hear that, we go, well, Jesus. Yeah, obviously Jesus. Because you want to say the right answer. but you need to give me the true answer. And you don't have to yell that out like the slogans, but in yourself, you need to give yourself the true answer. So let's jump into our scripture tonight. We're going to be reading from John 6, and we're going to read 25 to verse 35. And it says this, and it's worth noting, just before this, what's happened is Jesus has fed the crowd, and then they've escaped. So he actually tried to go and have some quiet time, and the crowd came and surrounded him, and he fed the thousands of people with the fish and the loaves. And then he tries to escape again, and he says to the disciples, I'll meet you there, and that's when he walks on the water. And then they chase him down, and they hit him up again, and they say this. When they found him on the other side of the lake, so they've done that much, they're chasing him down to the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, you were looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, What must we do to do the works God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. That's really key. So they asked him, what sign then will you give us that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they answered, their interest is piqued at this point. Always give us this bread. And then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. What an amazing declaration. That whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. There should be something within each of us when we hear that, that goes, maybe I've found it. Maybe this is that thing I've been searching for. Because the truth is, there is something within each of us that is calling out to be filled. And we do everything we can to fill that void and to fill that gap in our lives. You know, recently I helped a friend clear out a space, and they're going to remain anonymous for the purpose of this story. But I had a realization in this moment that it's far easier to throw other people's stuff out. It's really easy to go into a space and go, useless, 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 bin it all, let's start afresh. But it's nowhere near as satisfying. When you do that for yourself, when you throw out things that you've hoarded over the years, it's so satisfying when you remove those things. But for some reason, it's far more difficult. Tonight's message would be really easy if we did it for the person beside us. If we said to them, this is the thing that you are seeking to try to satisfy yourself. This is the thing that you are seeking constantly to try to fill that void. And it's easy to say, get rid of that. But the satisfaction isn't there. But we need to do that within ourselves. And I know I've already asked that, but I need to double down. Because the truth is, this isn't a for somebody talk. This is for all of us talk. This is for each one of us, because our world is constantly throwing us things that are trying to fill that void. And we're constantly saying, yes, please, I'll have more of that. Maybe that'll be the thing. Maybe that'll be the relationship. Maybe that'll be the job. Maybe that'll finally be the thing that fixes my life. Maybe that'll finally be the thing that gets rid of that void within myself that's leaving me feeling empty every day. C.S. Lewis, he has this really beautiful quote. He says, most people, if they'd really learned to look into their own hearts, would know that they do want, and want acutely, something that cannot be had in this world. There are all sorts of things in this world that offer to give it to you, but they never quite keep their promise. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. Man, C.S. Lewis is a boss. He's so good. He then goes on, I'm not going to read the next bit, but he's touched on a nerve there, because he's basically saying that within each of us is this yearning. Within each of us is this question we want answering and this void we want to fill. But if nothing in this world can satisfy it, does that mean that we're made for another world? And that's the eternity. That's the thing that Jesus is offering here. And that's the thing that I want to say is available to each of us tonight. And it's not something that maybe you thought was that thing. Maybe you thought was that relationship, but it's something far different. And the amazing thing is, it's free. And it's offered to you to have. And so that yearning within you, that thing you're trying to fill, is available to you tonight. And it's available in the person of Jesus. It's available in relationship with him. So people are approaching him, and this crowd is approaching him, and they're coming to him, and they've chased him down. They've run around the lake. The problem is we live in Australia and lakes are quite small, but over there, lakes are big. So they've either gone by boat or they've gone by foot. Either way, this was a big deal, and they've chased down Jesus, and they've gone there because they want their fill. And so what I want to do tonight is we're going to work our way through the passage, because we can see a few pitfalls here and things that each of us do that we try to find other things that will fill that void. Because if we don't identify what those other things are first, then we won't be able to remove them. And I don't know if you've tried to fill a jug that is full of ice cubes. This is what the fast food places do. Not that I know, because we're not going there at the moment. But they fill your cup with ice and then they put a little bit of soft drink in, so you only get a little bit. But that's where what we need to do is identify the ice in our life, identify those things that are filling us up and taking that space so we can remove them and then we can fill it with what truly is good. So the first one that Jesus has is things to fill our bellies. We're all looking for things to fill up our bellies. We want things to nourish us and to fill us. It's amazing what people are willing to do for something that is free. I am probably the biggest sucker for this. I found myself this week clicking on an ad for sign up to this webinar to get a free AirTag. I don't even know what an AirTag is, but I was signing up to a webinar for like home security, and it wasn't in work time, which is bad because it was in at home time, and I'm sorry, Ree. But I was clicking on it and I was going through the form. And I was like, I don't even want an AirTag. I don't even know what an AirTag is, but it was free, so I clicked on it. A little while ago, when we got our puppy Moose, again, an ad came up, those marketers, and it said, if you subscribe to this thing, then you will get a free, like, security. I've got a thing with security cameras, I found out. They've found the thing that gets me, but you'll get a free security camera for your dog. So if you sign up and subscribe, you get two toys a month and a packet of treats, and then you get this, like, $80 security camera for your dog so you can watch them. And I went to read, this is... we're making money. How good. We sign up to this. We're going to both know what our dog's doing and we're making money. How good. But because it was free, I got sucked in and I didn't realize you had to subscribe for 6 months and get these really terrible toys. But again, we get sucked in because we're obsessed with getting something for free. These people are here because a day earlier or a couple of days earlier, they'd received a free feed. They were on the mountain and Jesus was there and he'd given them bread. He'd performed that miracle and he'd broken the bread and broken the fish and he'd supplied them with food. And chances are, some of them were destitute. Some of them were extremely hungry. Some of them were impoverished. And this man had come along and he had fed them. And so they'd gone to him again and they're like, if you could do it once, maybe you could do it again. And he asked for more. Now, we're not really going to Jesus to ask him for food necessarily. And if you are, and I don't say this jokingly, but if you are, please come and talk to us because we want to help you. And Nexus Care, one of the key things we do is food. So if you're ever struggling to put food on your table because we know life can get tough, don't be embarrassed. Come and talk to us because we want to help you. And that's something that we can help with. But the truth is that we can do that with all areas of our life, is we can go to him and we can expect him, we can expect that thing. And if you gave me that thing, then I would feel satisfied. If you gave me success, I would feel satisfied. If you gave me power, then I would feel satisfied. If you gave me that relationship, if only you would give me a spouse, then I would feel satisfied. Or maybe for married couples, and I actually felt an urge to say this, I guess, as I was preparing, that I believe one of the reasons our divorce rate is going up like crazy is because we're unsatisfied. And we think that the grass is greener, but it's not. The grass is not greener. And so we get drawn into these things, and maybe you're in a relationship and you're like, it's just, I'm not feeling satisfied in it. Go back to the Father. Go back to Him. Get your satisfaction from Him and then go back. And anyway, but that's an important one. Or maybe it's in things. Maybe it's things that you're hoping are going to fix that yearning within you. And you go to the shops and you're like, if I just had that one thing, then I would finally be satisfied. Maybe it's hobbies. Maybe it's locality. If I just lived in that area, then I would feel satisfied. Maybe it's the feeling of being needed. Maybe it's the feeling of being busy. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it is food. All these things that we're going for and we're wanting to fill us, but ultimately leave us feeling unsatisfied. It's like when you're at the beach and you're digging a hole in the dry sand, and if you don't have kids, it's weird you're doing this, but if you do have kids, it's okay. But you're digging in the dry sand, and then you go and get a bucket of water, and the words are always, let's make a spa, let's do this, let's get a bucket of water. You pour it in the sand, and inevitably it just sinks straight through. It's gone, because you have to dig the hole closer to the water that then erodes and it doesn't work anyway. But this is what happens when we seek to be satisfied with all of these things, is we dig that hole and we're like, all right, now I'm going to go get that thing. I'm going to go get that relationship. I'm going to pour it in and I'm going to be in my nice little spa. But it just seeps straight through and we're as empty as we ever were. And tonight, I just feel that either you've experienced this and you know this is true. You've been seeking that thing. You thought that that silver bullet was going to fix it all for you. You got there and it didn't. And you're still feeling unsatisfied. Or maybe you haven't yet experienced what I would call rock bottom, where you're still going for that thing. You still think, if only I had that, my life would be worth something. You're still going for it. You're waiting to pour that bucket in. And I just want to let you know, it's just going to seep through. It's going to be empty. It's not going to do what you're hoping it will do. So the first group, that's what they were searching for. I just need another fill of bread. The next group, Jesus rebukes them because there's two things that happen in their request. Let's go to verse 30. It says this. So they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? So he's told them that the key is to believe in him. And so they're going, what sign are you going to give that we would believe you? Remembering, he's just fed the thousands. He's just broken bread and broken fish and fed thousands, but still they want a sign. Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Tonight, I want to remind you that Jesus is the miracle, not just the miracle worker. You know, we can become so enamored with the trimmings of faith. We can become so enamored with the things that are merely the benefits that we forget about the one from whom the benefits flow. You know, in our faith, we can go for everything. And absolutely, we're meant to have faith and to see those things. But if we merely go to him for the miracle, because we think if he does that, if he heals me, then I will know he's real. Then I can believe in him. If we do that, we've seen time after time, and even in our own lives, I'm sure some of you have experienced with people as well, that the miracle does not necessarily equal faith and believing faith. But when you believe in him as the miracle, not just as the one who can do miracles, that's when we truly find him, and that's when we're satisfied. You know, we were recently at a basketball game. We went there as a family, and my oldest daughter, Coco, who actually would have been a really good illustration, because she's been really wanting a Garmin watch, and then she got it, but she was extremely satisfied by getting it for her birthday yesterday. But anyway, we went to a basketball game, and we were just sitting watching, and it was unbelievable. They were playing the Brisbane Bullets and the Tasmanian Jumping Jacks, which is a terrible name for a team, but they were playing them, and on the side were all these other things that were happening, and Coco was just enamored with the cheerleaders. She did not watch a single moment of the game. She spent the whole thing just waving at them, just waving at the cheerleaders, trying to get their attention, and they never t-shirt gunned her up a t-shirt, but that's okay. But the whole game, she missed the point of why we were there, because all she was interested was what was happening on the side. How often do we do this in our faith? We forget why we're here. We forget what we're here to put our adoration and our affection towards, because we're focused on the trimmings. Notice that Jesus doesn't say that I am the trimmings. He says, I am the bread. I am the bread of life. You see, at this point in time, bread was the centerpiece of any meal. Bread was the staple in any diet. And it was seen as this is the universal food that sustains all people. And what Jesus is saying is, I am the centerpiece. I need to be the centerpiece of your faith. And your belief needs to be in me and what I bring, not just the trimmings on the side. I'm not just meant to be added. I'm not just the garnish, but I am the centerpiece and the true thing of sustenance. The other one is, and this is an interesting one, Jesus isn't just a modern Moses. You see, the reason they're asking this question about why don't you bring down manna from heaven, why don't you do that again, is because in their minds they're going, maybe this is the Messiah that was promised, but their view of the Messiah was just another Moses. They thought that he was going to be the one that would lead them, the same way Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, that Jesus would be the one to lead them out of the Roman rule. And so what they're doing is they're testing him and going, are you Moses? Are you the new Moses? And Jesus rebukes them for this, because essentially what they're saying is, will you be our political Messiah? Will you be the one that's going to rescue us from our oppressors, the Roman rule? And this is an important piece that I think we all need to grasp. And it's easy for us to put our faith in man. But if Jesus isn't willing to be the political Messiah because he has a greater intent with his life, then we need to be careful about putting our faith in one person, because man will never save us. But Jesus, he's the one that can truly save us. You see, when he's asking, and what he's saying to them is, I cannot be what you're wanting me to be. You see, the thing that they're calling out, and I think this is, it's similar to what it says in Romans 12:2. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I guess the encouragement for each of us is, let's not just be an echo of our culture. If our culture is saying, put all of your hope in this, put all of your hope in this thing, put all of your hope in your career, in your money, in this politician, in this person, if we're doing the same, we're just an echo of our culture. But Jesus is inviting us to be different. Jesus is inviting us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And this is the power of the gospel, because the gospel cuts through our cultural noise. We don't need to just be a part of that noise and adding to it. And so then he invites them, or they invite him, essentially, to see his credentials. And that's what they're saying there. And again, Jesus must have been frustrated by this, because he's just shown them, and some commentators would say he's actually reenacted the Exodus scene, but he's doing it in a greater way. Something I saw this week, which is, it kind of ties into this point, and I don't know if this is real, but let's go there together. I'm kind of doing that caveat, and then we'll go there. In Exodus, when the manna came down from heaven, and when God provided the people with that, he provided enough for that day. So he would give them for that day. He'd say, store it up, use it for that day, but only take as much as you need, except for on the day before Sabbath, when he'd send double, and they'd have enough for Sabbath. But some people kept some extra, and when they did, it was spoiled. The maggots would get to it, and all these things, and it would spoil. It would not last. When Jesus fed the 5,000, or however many he fed, something really interesting happens. Is he breaks bread, he does this amazing miracle, he fills the baskets, but afterwards there's leftovers. But what he says to his disciples is, go and collect that leftovers. Go and collect that which is left over, and let's keep it. Because the bread that Jesus brings, when he touches it, it changes it. It's not the manna that can only last for a day. It's not the thing that can only sustain us for a short amount of time. But when Jesus breathes on it, when Jesus speaks life into it, it will last forever. And this is what he's inviting them into here. And this is what his invitation to each of us is into tonight. And we're going to take communion in a second, because he goes on, and I'll read that in just a moment. But firstly, I want to read his statement again, and this is what he declares over each of them. I invite the team to come join me. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. This is his I am statement. I am the bread of life. Because I am God, I can sustain you for everything you need. In me, you will find everything that your heart desires. In me, you will find everything that you are yearning for. You see, Jesus' request and his announcement of saying, I am the bread of life, is that very thing that pointed to me before. That was good, and you've read about that, and the Israelites had that. But I am the one now that you can look to. I am the one that brings everything you need, not only sustains you for a day, but will sustain you forevermore. And man, I want this. I want that. I want to go to him. I want to go to the one that can give far more than just what I need for a day, but can give me what I need for an eternity. And as you do this, the other stuff kind of falls to the side. And it made sense to me tonight to do communion, because if Jesus says, I am the bread of life, you'll never go hungry and you'll never go thirsty, then we need to dine with him. And he invites us, and this is kind of a gnarly passage, and it follows on from what we read earlier in John 6, verses 53 to 58. It says this: Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." This is obviously not a cannibalistic moment. Jesus is talking about partaking in his communion and coming communing with him, but not just leaving him out there, but bringing him into your life, bringing him into your very being. "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." You know, he invites us to the table, and he invites us to, sorry, my glasses are getting foggy. He invites us to come and join with him and commune with him. And tonight, as we take communion, I'm going to invite you to, actually, why don't we stand? Because I'd love to pray for you in a moment, but I actually believe a transaction can happen in this moment. I believe that thing that you've been searching for, that thing you've been hanging your hopes on to satisfy you, I believe that if you lay that at the altar tonight and replace it with his blood and with his body, symbolized in the bread and the juice, that you're going to experience that satisfaction you're searching for. You know, maybe you're going to him and you've been praying for a partner, for a spouse, and it's not being answered, and you've been hanging all your hopes on this one prayer. Tonight, he's inviting you to come to him as your friend and to come to him and just lay it down and say, "Lord, I trust you with my life, and I know that you are the one that sustains me." And as you take that, I believe that his spirit is going to fill you, and it's going to remind you that he is the one from where all good things flow. Or maybe up to this point, you've been riddled with anxiety, or you've been crushed by depression, and you've been praying that prayer of, "Lord, just release my mind. If you cleared my mind, then I'd finally be able to trust in you and believe in you." I believe that if you come tonight and you take this communion, you say, "Lord, I trust you with my life. I trust you with my future. I trust you with all of these things," that he's going to be taking you on that journey of healing. And many of you know my story, that he's taken me on that, and he's still taking me on that. But I know that my hope is in him. And so as you bring those things, whatever that prayer is, whatever that thing is that you've been trying to get satisfaction out of, I just want to invite you to lay it down, just to leave it at the altar, to take the bread, to take the cup, take it back to your seat, and then just say, "Lord, I believe you are the bread of life. I believe you are the one that truly satisfies. And so, Lord, I no longer want to hunger. I no longer want to thirst, because I have you in my heart." The team's going to play quietly as we do that, but we don't really have a method of doing this. This is what I like about PM. So whenever you're ready, and don't take too long, otherwise it'll be a really late night, but whenever you're ready, jump out of your seat, just come down, grab a piece of bread, grab a cup, and take it back to your seat, and then we'll pray. There's also gluten-free, because there is gluten-free Jesus available as well, and that's on the wings. All good. Thanks, guys.
We hope this message encouraged or perhaps even challenged you in your Christian faith. Our pastors meet regularly with people to pray and support them, and we extend this invitation to you. Please let us know if we can contact you to offer support. Simply call the office or visit nexuschurch.com.au.